And next, we will welcome Caroline Street, who is a veteran public school teacher in New Haven's public school in Connecticut, USA. Caroline is currently doing lecturing and conducting research at the University of UVascular as the recipient of Fulbright Distinguished Awards in Teaching. Her specialism is aligning student growth theories with educational practices, holding the fundamental assumption that all students are capable of succeeding. Caroline's expertise as teacher researcher in curriculum development and in culturally responsive teaching practices, and she has published multiple curriculum, including An Approach to Teaching, Roll of Thunder, Hear Me Cry, and a few others. And today, Caroline is going to talk about culturally centered pedagogy. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for that lovely introduction. I think the first two presentations go perfectly with what I am going to talk about today. I think my discussion will be the cherry on the top in talking about education during crisis. And I want us to, I'm sharing my screen right now. Can everyone see my screen? Okay. I want us to think about the importance of culturally centered education and critical pedagogies in terms of what that means within today's context. So we've talked about how the pandemic has caused great upheaval. We've heard the personal tolls yesterday about the effects of that, the emotional, social emotional effects of that. We've heard about what that means for educational leadership today. And I want us to think about what that means in terms of movement. So when I say movement, I'm thinking more about immigration. And we're going to talk about how movement, either it's because of political or climate unrest, for whatever reason, our classrooms are no longer heterogeneous spaces. And what I'm going to be doing is encouraging us to think about how culturally centered education is a best practice and how we as educators can reimagine our pedagogy and curriculum to support our students that are from multicultural ethnic backgrounds. And then our takeaway for today is I would hope that everyone is critically reflecting on our own practices. Okay. The key question that I always ask myself before I start working on curriculum or even thinking about how I'm preparing for the next school year is how can I, as an educator, create an inclusive classroom that affirms all student identities? This isn't something that can happen overnight, especially when I work with teacher preparation programs. I want to remind teachers that I've been doing this for 24 years, and this type of approach is not something that can happen overnight. It's a practice. It's an ongoing practice. It's culture. It's something that needs to be reflected and worked on daily. So the what and why. Culturally centered education does two things in my point of view. It impacts social emotional development. So the strategies that educators use to help students develop a positive self-confidence concept by providing knowledge about the histories, cultures, and contribution of diverse groups. Through culturally centered education, we are able to address issues of things like racism, sexism, classism, linguism, ableism, ageism, sexism, religious intolerance, and xenophobia, just to name a few. Looking at culturally centered education through pedagogy, it gives strong implications for how we can best align our written, taught, learned, and I want to emphasize the experienced curriculum. So, why is this important? What does this have to do with the data? Well, looking at the movement data of 2020, 281 million international immigrants worldwide, which equates 3.6% of the global population. And of that 281 million, of people living in a country other than their countries of birth. It equates to more than 128 million. When we compare it from 1990, it's over three times the estimated number in 1970. Our classrooms are changing. We are no longer, as I said earlier, a homogeneous classroom. Our communities are welcoming more and more students outside of our cultural ethnic context. So what are these culturally centered theories and model instructions about? Well, here are the big three, the stars of the show, if you will. Culturally relevant pedagogy, culturally sustaining pedagogy, and culturally responsive teaching. And I'm going to briefly go over what those are, the associated thought leaders with them, the discussion around it, and the critiques about these theories. So just to ground the theory in what their purpose is, they are part of the cultural difference paradigm, and they do several things. I want to emphasize the bottom corner where these are counter narratives to cultural deprivation and deficit paradigms that argue that people from low income, non-white racial ethnic groups achieved at lower levels because of limited cultural capital. Studies have shown that this is not and never has been true. However, for a greater part of the earlier years in teaching, that was a widely held view. Okay, so the first one, looking at culturally relevant pedagogy, the associated thought leader is Dr. Gloria Lanson Billings. And what this is, it connects students' cultures, languages, and life experience with what they learn in school. And the attributes of this pedagogy is that it emphasizes the academic and personal success of students as individuals and as a collective. And it ensures access to academically rigorous curriculum, affirmation of students' identities and experiences, and helps develop the knowledge and skills needed to develop critical perspectives of others in the world. I want to present the discussion about culturally relevant pedagogy, in which they've identified what culturally relevant teachers do. So the three pillars of what they do. So teachers work to hold basic cultural competence, understanding culture's role on education. They interrogate their own identity and privileges and biases to strengthen their practice. They hold high expectations for students and tailor instructions to meet students where they are. And they develop their students' social political consciousness and empower them to see themselves as agents as change. The critique for this particular theory is that it doesn't reach far enough to disrupt the conventional instructional paradigms with regard to identity and culture. The next is culturally responsive teaching. The associated thought leader is Dr. Geneva Gay. And what this means is that it seeds BIPOC, and that stands for Black Indigenous Persons of Color. That's an American context. I know that the EU has its own definition to expand multicultures. It sees BIPOC students' heritage and community cultural practices as resources to honor and explore. So the attributes for this are an approach to leveraging the strengths that BIPOC or students of color or students outside one's cultural context bring to the classroom to make learning more relevant and effective. It's a reversal of patterns of underachievement that disproportionately affect those student groups. It recognizes the cultural capital and tools that our students can bring outside of one cultural context to the classroom. And it utilizes students' cultural learning tools throughout instruction. The defined characteristics of cultural responsive teaching are several, ranging from transformative all the way down to emancipatory teaching to comprehensive and inclusive. What culturally responsive teaching does is it emphasizes the doing of teaching versus the role that culture has on student learning. So it's more so what teachers do within their classroom. The critique for this theory is that it holds stronger focus on teacher strategies and practices. And we know as educators that key role players in building these strategies and practices are teacher preparation programs, mentorships, administrative support, a whole host of things that help teachers develop their cultural competency. The last is culturally sustaining pedagogy, and the associate thought leaders are Django and Aline. And the definition is it helps students uphold their cultural identities while developing fluency in at least one other culture. Here are the attributes. It sustains linguistic, literary, and cultural pluralism as a part of schooling for positive social transformation and revitalization. It also positions dynamic cultural dexterity as a necessary good and sees the outcome of learning as additive rather than subtractive, as remaining whole rather than framed as broken, and as critically enriching strengths rather than replacing deficits. So the discussion on the key characteristics with this, there are several as well. It centers on dynamic community languages, valued practices and knowledges. It focuses student and community agency and input. There is a focus on historicized content and instruction. There's a capacity to contend with internalized oppression and the ability to integrate these features within the curricula and learning sections. So the emphasis here is that schools must be a site for sustaining the cultural ways of being of communities of color. The critique for this one is that the argument is that educators and schools need to sustain rather than just affirm culture. So we have the recognition of how culture is an important aspect to student learning, what teachers do as within their pedagogy, and then how the school's culture sustains culturally centered education within within and throughout their school community. So I know that was a mouthful, and again, it's just the theories in the nutshell, but if anything, I want you to consider the concluding takeaway thoughts. Culturally centered education does two things. Number one, you can synthesize it by understanding that one does not have to change the student population to get results, but instead change the conditions under which students can learn. And second, school stakeholders must constantly identify the best practices that conceptually align with student growth model frameworks and confirm the fundamental goal of education that all students can succeed. So for reflection, consider these three questions. What does culturally centered education look like in your professional context? What may be some challenges in implementing culturally centered education? And how can you as an educator bring more support in culturally centered education within your school setting? So thank you for listening and considering those three instructional models. Again, it's not something that can be done overnight. It is a practice that takes years of just implementing within the school culture. And I think it does speak larger to the need for school, for teacher resources and school preparatory programs to focus more on beyond the theory and also emphasize the practice of what this means and how it looks within your school setting. So thank you very much, everyone. Looking forward to discussion.